Today on Real Radio.
That next time around, when situations have changed, we can look at a friend or somebody and say, hey, you know what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can tell you something. When it was this way with me, God did this. And when it was this way with me, God did that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a section recorded in Luke chapter 16 where Jesus tells of a couple of people who die and go to what's called Abraham's bosom. Now, some consider this a parable, others don't. Either way, there's a whole lot to be learned from this passage, as always. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable That's Not a Parable.
It's not a sin to be rich. He was clothed in purple. It's not a sin to wear purple. And fine linen. Look, this is high-end stuff. Look, it's not a sin. That's not a sin. Who fared sumptuously every day. The guy had a lot. Nowhere in this teaching of Jesus is here is the guy condemned for having this stuff. Did you hear that when we read it? You didn't hear that when we read it. That's not the issue. Here's a guy who, listen, his life is smooth and pleasurable. Look, don't answer out loud because we'll all want to go home with you tonight. Is your life smooth and pleasurable? Listen, right now, you could be here tonight, somebody whose life is just super smooth and pleasurable, and you don't know God. You could be here tonight and your life is like that, and you do know God. The issue is that what you have in life has been given to you by God. And you might say over here, I don't believe in God. Well, you should. He's been good to you. I'll have you know I made all this money myself. No, you didn't, you funny person, you. You, God gave you the health. God gave you the brains. God gave you the ability to do all that. You didn't do that. Think of it. Now, listen, what should separate the rich Christian from the rich unbeliever is that the rich Christian is saying, oh my goodness, God, you've been so good to me. How do I manage this for your glory? You know, he who dies with the most toys wins. You ever seen that sticker? The Christian lives like this. God, I got all this stuff. I want to make sure that the day I die, I run out of my last penny on that day. That's good management for the glory of God. Think of it. If you have $1 million and you're a Christian, if you're doing it right, you're going to want to make your life be in such a way that you either die the day that you spend your last penny helping people and using it for the kingdom of God, or you leave it to a great institution that's going to promote the word of God and to reach people. You don't ever leave your God-given money and resources to a drunk or drugged son or daughter just because they're your son or daughter. That would convert all that God blessed you with into a sin. And all the kids in the room are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just heard that. You mean, hey, that's a message for another day, and boy, that could draw a crowd. It's not your money to give to a knucklehead. It's God's money. So this guy's blessed. You may not know it, but he's blessed. But with all that what we have, how are we conduct ourselves in life? What do we do? Well, in Psalm 116, jot it down, Psalm 116, verse 12, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Think of this. Has God been good to you? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This is awesome. God has blessed me. I'm going to acknowledge him, and I'm going to be bold about letting the world know God's been good to me. I'm going to announce his faithfulness to the people that I come in contact with. That is amazing. That's awesome. What a witness. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Are you not a Christian tonight? But listen, God has blessed your life. Look, I don't know what your story is. We all have stories. But if you're sitting here tonight, if you're sitting on a cushion, if you have feet at the end of your legs, you're blessed. blessed. And the Bible says, haven't you thought about this all the way through? It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. What does that mean? God's been good to you. And you should respond back to him in faith. Give your life to him. We still live in a country that if you're hungry tonight, it's quite possibly because you've chosen to go without food tonight. Certainly know this, if you're hungry, there are people who have the resources to feed you. We're blessed. Listen, America's messed up. Never been this bad before in the history of America, but people are still trying to break into this country. Think of that. People are trying to leave their countries and break into this country. People still want to come here. Why? America, we are at least running off the residual of God's blessings, right? But, you know, were you out today? Now, I was not outside today. I was preparing for this message today, but I had all my windows open in my house. The wind was blowing, and it was so perfect all day today. It's been like that for about a week. Have you noticed that? So blessed. I'm reading that verse. Oh, God, I'm so blessed. The breeze is blowing, and it's just my Bible, the wind is moving my Bible. So blessed. Got up this morning, it was crystal clear outside, and then at about 6 or 6:30, it got all cloudy. And I went out in the backyard, God, this is amazing. You ever think about that? He's so good to us. He's so good all the time. The Bible also tells us regarding, listen, if your life is smooth and pleasurable, I have some encouragement for you. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, verse 11, not to speak in regard, Paul says, to need. For I have learned in whatever state I'm in, I think he means California also, to be content. He says, I know how to be abased. Wow. Paul says, I know how to be poor and have nothing. And I know how to be rich. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, I love that portion of scripture, and I think verse 13 should be read before verse 11. How can you say that? Because of this, it's through life's experiences that Paul learned, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, I want this to encourage you. I don't think Paul came to his poverty or to his wealth and said, all right, this is poverty standing right outside my door. I see it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I don't think he did that. I think Paul said, yikes, I'm a Christian. This poverty, whew. Well, look, God knows he's able to cause a falafel to fall out of the sky if he wants me to have one. And so I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to trust in him. And maybe Paul, who was a Jew, Hebrew, knowing the scriptures, a Pharisee, would have even drawn from Job and said, you know what? I remember when Job wrote, naked I came and naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is he doing? What am I doing with you? I'm saying to you what Paul, I think, would have said to himself. He would have preached the word of God to himself. And all of us as Christians need to be preachers of the word of God to ourselves. That is vitally important. Are you discouraged? Then you need to look right down your shirt and say, why so downcast, O my soul? Hope thou in God. That's what David said. David took his robe and he looked down and he said, why so downcast, O my soul? Did you know he wrote that. In a time of great depression, he said, wait a minute. He looked all around. I've got so much to be thankful for. Amen. David looked around. Wow. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Hope in God. He preached to himself. We need to do that. We need to do that many times during the course of one day. Right? It's awesome. So this is what I think. I think Paul learned, man, this is being poor, but Jesus walked with me through it. And then there are times when Paul had a bunch of money. And I don't know about you guys, but that's the dangerous time. You know where I get this from? Two people. One is Solomon, and the other one's me. Solomon said when he was young, great prayer. He forgot he ever prayed it after a while, but Solomon said, Lord, don't let me be so poor that I'm tempted to steal. And don't let me get so rich that I'm tempted to forget you. By the way, that's a middle class verse, for real. For real. The danger, I know in my life, I was 19 years old making what I call stupid money. It was all legal, don't get any ideas. 19 years old, had too much money. And for me, it rivaled my faith in God. Because the more the account grew, I went to church every week. I didn't stop being a Christian. But what happens was, as I realized, man, if I have this much money now, here, right here, then I'm okay. No, you know what? You know what I learned? I learned in reverse what Paul was talking about. I had it, and then I lost it all. And you know what I learned from it all? I learned how to be a pastor to deal with the church. No, I'm just like, wait, hey, his promises are true in the mountains and in the valleys. His word is true in the highs and the lows. His word is true, black or white, day or night, up and down, in and out. His word is true. And it never changes. And so no matter what life is throwing at you right now, you can say, I've learned from stuff. You say, why do sometimes things get worse? That's because you're still learning and I'm still learning. Learning what? That next time around when situations have changed, we can look at a friend or somebody and say, hey, you know what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can tell you something. When it was this way with me, God did this. And when it was this way with me, God did that. God is there. Second thing under this is the days of our lives can be lean and heartbreaking. Why is some churches, or in fact, let me rephrase that. Why is it that in every church there are the well-off and the brokenhearted, the down and out? Have you noticed that? It doesn't matter where you go. God sees to it. I think to answer this challenge that's here tonight, that those who have compassion on those who do not. And here's the tough part. God has called some to be that poor person. I said, man, Lord, can't you call somebody else to do it for a while? But God will use a struggling family or a struggling person. Now, granted, you guys in a church this size, when we were small, it was easy to locate the what do you call them? They're drift, no, I don't know if even that's the right word. I don't say drifters, but there's people who come and take advantage of churches. That happens all the time. In a big church, it's hard because they'll weasel in among the group. Sometimes it takes them a while to find. But I'm just passing through. I don't have any money. And why are you going to help me? And there's ways to help people like that. There's ways. But you better think twice before you start pulling out cash in front of them. There's a way to help them. But as a church, God will always test a church's love in a heart by always providing those who are in need that the body would respond. There's always going to be the lean. Didn't Jesus say, the poor you have with you? Always. What are we supposed to do? Love them. Help them. So look at verse 20 and 21. It says, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores. Very sad, huh? And he was laid at the rich man's gate and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The difficulties and the hardships. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, listen, this is for all of us, in me you will have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Can I just pause right there for effect? There's a comma right there. We need to hear this again. Y'all listening? Yes. Jesus said, in me, you're going to have peace. So you be in me. In the world, you're going to get your socks knocked off. In the world, you're going to feel like you're being crushed. In the world, you're going to feel like you're losing your mind. In the world, you're going to feel like a second-rate human. but in me you'll have peace. Translation, paraphrase, in me you have eternity and you're en route to it. Here, you're just passing through and it's pretty rough. Just don't take your eyes off the fact that you're not home yet. It's not your home. You think about that for a moment. If this was your home, you look around at the way the world's going these last few months, last few days, you look what's happening to our country. As a Christian, it breaks my heart to see my country die, but you know what? As a Christian, it's like, well, it's prophetic. The Bible said this would happen. And as much as I love this country, God saw fit to put me here. The cool thing is, I'm not home yet. I'm not home yet. You're not home yet either. That's good news. 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, this is from the New Living. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. Do you ever feel like you're being absolutely ravaged by life? As if something strange were happening to you? Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. That's a reference to his coming. In other words, listen, in Jesus, we can suck it up and press on because he will never give us more than what we can handle. Never. I know it feels like it. Doesn't it feel like it? That's what makes it a trial. Do you understand that? You say, wait a minute. He said he wouldn't give us more than we can handle. You're not, listen, and it's happening to you. You are not, you have not been given more than you can handle. It feels like it's, I know it, and that's what makes it a trial. Look, it wouldn't be a trial if you go, I got this one. Car blew up. I got it. I got another car in the garage. I got it. We're good. That's not a trial. When your car blows up and you don't have another car, that's a trial. Okay? And so the scripture says, don't panic about this. Why? Because in that situation you're going through right now, you, by the Holy Spirit's power, he's conforming you into the personage or the image of Jesus Christ in this world. The world around you is watching you. And listen, they can't see Jesus. They're not going to see Jesus. But they see you. All of us, this is true for, look, I'm speaking it to you. And as I'm speaking it to you, I'm saying, Lord, amen to that, because that's true in my life. All of us are in this together. Our neighbors are watching us to see how we handle what's going on in our life. They'll never pick up a Bible. They're reading you instead. And they're wondering. Your neighbors are thinking about you right now. Oh, they're at that church again. And when something happens, look, you know, you're... Something happens in your neighborhood or in your home or with your family or with your health or whatever it is. They're definitely, they may not look like this on the outside, but they're like this. And they got look like the guy in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He's got all these glasses and lenses and eyeballs and he's zooming in to see, let's see if their Christianity is really true here. And when you come through this fiery trial, number one, listen, it makes it that much harder for them to keep rejecting Jesus. And in the same breath, number two, it makes it that much easier for them to come to know the Jesus you just represented to them. Our lives are a living billboard for God. Yes. Are you a Christian tonight? Yes. That's what you are. You're a billboard for God. Yes. You say, I don't want to be a billboard for God. That's Christians are billboards for God. Second thing, verses 22 to 26, is that the parable that's not a parable teaches us about the end of our lives, the end of life. And in this, in verse 22, we look at here that we all enter into what I like to call reality. We are all heading, now listen, we're all heading toward reality at the end of our lives. You say, wait, isn't this reality now? I don't know, I'm going to put you to the test on this one. Is this really reality? Think about this. How long is this world? Listen, in fact, you have to be a Christian. If you've had basic science in class, basic physics, is this world going to last forever? Nope, science tells you everything is turning into dust. The sun is turning into dust. Everything's wearing out. Everything's going to end. You have to be a Christian to figure that out. Scientists, if it's all ended. So if this is all ending and eternity's forever, which one is the actual reality? See, you and I focus so much on the temporalness of this world. Jesus put it this way. You guys worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to do. He said all these things the unbelievers seek after. Think of it. That's kind of how we're programmed. We're programmed by the world. And Jesus says, whoa, this is passing. Peter tells us in another place that this world and all that is in it, the elements will someday melt with fervent heat. And seeing that this is the end, what manner of persons ought we to be? The answer is a Christ follower. Why? Because we have the opportunity tonight to make a decision to live for God. And that decision will literally affect us and for us in eternity. Listen, I'll put it to you like this. You can go down to the bank tonight and make a deposit in your bank. And tomorrow morning, wake up to find out that the entire financial world has collapsed. And what you put in last night flew away while you were sleeping. It's no more. Are you with me? But what you deposit spiritually cannot be affected by the things of this world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable That's Not a Parable, taken from Luke chapter 16. The Parable That's Not a Parable is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I have Pastor Jack here in the studio with me. Pastor Jack, I understand that there's an important conference on Israel coming up.
Yeah, you know, every year our facilities here play host to Dr. David Hawking's Hope for Today outreach. Yeah. He does a prophecy conference where he brings in some pretty knowledgeable people. One of them is a dear brother and friend. In fact, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, for example, he's an attorney. He's not only an attorney, he's a pastor of the Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, but he's part of the faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, a great brother, a great communicator. Of course, Dr. David Hawking will be speaking, Thomas Ice, David Reagan. David Reagan is a gentleman who many of you know from his television broadcast. David Reagan has the ability to look at world events in light of Bible prophecy, second to none, and no man has ever been known to fall asleep during one of his messages. The guy, I'm telling you, when I grow up, I hope I have as much anointing as energy as Dr. Okay. David Reagan. We're going to be having with us a dear brother from England, Dr. Paul Wilkinson, a tremendous speaker, one who, listen, everybody, one who has taken upon himself to really reveal this very, very ugly and insidious vein that is flowing through many churches in the world today, and that is an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Jew doctrine.
In the church.
In the church. Yeah. And Dr. Paul Wilkinson has tremendous presentations on this. Mm-hmm. He's got his doctorate in mathematics, in science, but he loves the Word of God, tremendous brother. And I tell you what, it's going to be a great time. There'll be other events planned as well. There's no cost for this event. A love offering is going to be taken, mm-hmm. but I encourage you to come on out. This is going to be stuff at our time. With what's going on in the world right now, Davey, you can't afford to miss this conference.
When is it?
This conference begins on August 7th, 7th and 8th. And it's right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, right here in Southern California. We hope that if you're within driving distance, or for that matter, listen, every year we have people that come from as far as Canada.
That's great.
We've had people come from Maine.
Yeah, I love it.
To attend this event. So it's an eye opener for sure.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.